This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, basketball fans, ready for a slam dunk? Check out the Philly Cheesesteak Sub at Penn Station East Coast Subs. Juicy grilled steak, melted provolone, and sautéed veggies, served any way you like on fresh baked bread. It's a game changer, perfect for game day or any day. Head to Penn Station and score big with the Philly Cheesesteak Sub. Don't forget about our delicious fresh-cut fries, made in-house freshly squeezed lemonade, and our irresistible chocolate chip cookies. Ordering online is an easy layup at penn-station.com or walk into your nearest Penn Station East Coast Subs today.
Sponsor that I use more while I'm awake, the NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, this is like the Swiss Army knife, the multi-tool of applications. It does a little bit of everything. You always get a great deal at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, and it works on all your devices and operating systems. It doesn't end there. Change your virtual location and then get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, TV services at a much more affordable price. You got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protections, and on top of that, 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you don't know exactly how it works, NordVPN.com/Fightful will help you learn how to do it. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. Welcome to Fightful. It is December 23rd, 2024. We have the Twitter Space Lords here. We are the draws of Twitter Spaces consecutive weeks. Listen, I know that Eric Bischoff beat Raw 83 weeks in a row, but I'm pretty sure we beat it at least 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah.
I guarantee you this, we will have a higher cable viewership than Raw every single week next year. And I am very
on cable? Oh, absolutely. 100%. 100%.
On cable. Yaboo, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Sean. I apologize for my technical difficulties. We are live here on Fightful. Talk about some Monday Night Raw, a taped edition of Monday Night Raw live from the TD Garden. Yes. I'm excited to get into the show, the news and rumors. And like you said, the Space Lords, as we both have had some notable high-profile online Twitter spaces over the last 2 weekends here.
Yeah, first off, I'd like to apologize. I'm still a little under the weather, and I don't know if you know this, but I am on medication.
Oh, really? That must mean that 100% this is going to hurt your performance. Because even if you are medically clear to do the stream, it's not like you're going to be able to bust out your biggest weapons here, you know?
That's also true. Guys, leave a fruit emoji in the chat. Let us know that you're there. Leave a comment. If you're watching after the fact, tell us your favorite, least favorite part of Raw in the comments. That goes such a long way. Leave a thumbs up on this video. You can also get a super chat or a humper chat in to get your question or statement read on the air. A couple guys here that have some inside sources within the wrestling industry. And man, I'm headed off on my first ever 4-day vacation sabbatical from Fightful tomorrow ever.
Wow.
I'm excited for it. But FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 a year or $5 a month in the business, $54 a year in the business. We got scoops already set up through the beginning of Saturday. So you're not going to miss out there. We will greatly appreciate your subscription. What's that?
Are these taped select entries then, Sean? Yes. Are you taped ahead of time? You had some in the can, put it out while you were having your vacation?
At any given time. In fact, I'll pull open the document right now. Well, let's see how many pages. Okay, I have 26 Google Doc pages worth of scoops at any given time ready to go.
Wow.
And that's just the ones that are timely. I've also got a document of ones that just aren't timely anymore, and that also is 27 pages.
I want the public to know that Sean's sitting on some big stuff, folks. He's listen, he has the WrestleMania rundown with the results and everything. You know?
Corey, so I have access to Corey Brennan's as well. He's sitting on 9 pages right now himself. So
look at that. You guys tape ahead. You guys get ready for all these things, you know.
I like to have something every day. I like to remind people every day exactly what we do. Every single day you're gonna see
it's good shit too, it's not like people were happy with that match last night, you know.
Yeah, I mean sometimes it is,
sometimes it is, but like that's usually supplemental to like something a little more. You're like, look, you'll serve the people some french fries, but at the heart of it there's a meal at the center all the time. Fightful makes sure the people are fed, Sean Ross.
That is true, including dozens of other websites that, I'm very proud of what we do. But, yeah, we got plenty of stuff on Fightful Select. We got the Discord, all that good stuff. But excited to take a few days away. I'm coming to your city, actually. I'm spending Christmas in New York City.
Oh, shit.
At Times Square, like a total tourist.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah. Buddy, I'm going to the Rockefeller Tree. I'm going to Central Park. I can't wait to get stabbed. I'm going to Madison Square Garden on the 26th to see your boy.
Ludwig Kaiser?
Oh, Ludwig Kaiser, exactly. Ludwig Kaiser.
You should do people still use Periscope?
It doesn't exist anymore. Twitter, they nuked it.
Oh, shit. I was going to say, you need to use something and just illegally stream the show from your phone until someone catches you and takes your phone and gets you out of there.
I remember there was such great interest in the Bayley versus Eva Marie NXT title match that the Periscope stream of it like went crazy. Like there were so many people watching that.
MSG shows popped me so much because like people don't care enough about house shows anymore to try to procure footage of matches. But for whatever reason, every year MSG, people are like, oh man, like can someone stream this or can someone get a, you know, whatever. So
I am a little bummed Cody won't be there. Cody is a favorite performer to watch. I understand why they would put him on the Jacksonville show. That makes an awful lot of sense to me. Mm. But MSG on December 26th has been a thing that I've wanted to do since I was a little kid. And more so because of the curtain call, which was actually in May than December 26th. But I've always been like, you know what? I want to go spend Christmas in New York, Home Alone 2 style. Going to watch that shit in my hotel room. Going to go to the MSG show. Going to do tourist stuff. And I'm very excited to do that. And you're right. I remember one time Demon Diva sent us footage from the MSG show from December 26th. And the views went crazy.
Yeah.
So,
I'm locked in. I'm excited to watch the stuff from that. CM Punk's working Gunther in a Chicago house show coming up soon. That's going to be interesting.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, Little Birdie told me they're going to go long, Sean. So we'll see.
Who told you that? Ludwig told you. I knew.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah. It's my boy Ludwig. You know what I mean? He gives me all the Imperium scoops. Yeah.
I will say it was so funny when I met Tiffany Stratton. I walk up, and of course, I have no assumption that these people know who I am. And she goes, "Oh, it's you."
Really?
I'm like, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
She's true, that's
like,
a good point. Yeah.
She's like, you've never said anything bad about me. And I was like, oh, there we go. That's wonderful. Oh, well, guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We are here to talk WWE Monday Night Raw. It was a taped edition.
Yes,
Orion Ben says, happy holidays to all the Fightful staff. Condolences to SRS. Thank you so much. Says, I realize it's the holidays and it was the second taping, but come on, we couldn't get a little more action than 19 minutes of wrestling on a 2-hour show. They got the W out of WWE. Was it really 19 minutes? Surely it's got to be more than that.
No, it's definitely more than 19. I mean, I'll look at it.
Couldn't have been more, much more,
though. That doesn't sound right. You know, it doesn't sound right. But we had one match that went three segments. The women's match was probably, what, 7-8 minutes? It was probably like 20-something, 30-something minutes. But I will say, they did two short matches with post-match angles in the second hour that I'm watching them, and I'm like, you know, I could have gone for like 5 more minutes of Sammy and Drew, and you could have just done angles out of these two matches and not even bothered with the wrestling. But
The biggest ass kicking of the week was us on Wrestle Talk.
And
on the quiz show, to the degree of which, you know, it's an ass kicking when people in the comments are like, they cheated. And I was like,
people thought we cheated.
Not only did we not cheat, we barely got the benefits that other teams got because our apps weren't working correctly.
See, for those that watched, or even the people that didn't watch, we did this quiz game against some of our colleagues in the wrestling space. And I mean, there's questions where we couldn't even converge and discuss our answers together. And guess what, folks? We still came out with a W by a comfortable margin. And you know why? It's because when you combine the powers of Sean Rossap and Ibu Kama of WrestlePerious Sass Fightful, you get two brilliant wrestling minds that just happen to know a lot of things about wrestling, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of what happens.
It's a good time. I mean, listen, there was nobody on that stream that was wanting to extend the length of that stream by the end of it. Like, you all don't even know what we went through to get on that recording to make that happen. But Drew McIntyre kicked off the show. Talks about getting beaten up in Hell in a Cell since he went to Scotland afterwards because a very close family member passed away.
Yep.
He's been led to believe WWE is family. He said only one person checked on him. I can tell you this, Ibu. I checked on him. I was a good person. I asked how he was doing.
See, now you're making me feel bad. Now I feel like you're showing off on me because I didn't check on Drew. You know, I just was like, man, that sucks. Hopefully someone checks on Drew. And clearly,
that's why he's going to whip Ludwig Kaiser's ass pretty soon.
He's going to fuck up Kaiser. Kaiser's worried about it. You told me about it. He was like, oh, I don't know, man. I think I got heat with him. So we'll see what happens. But at least you did your part, Sean. And you checked.
I did do my part. McIntyre. Yeah. I did the right thing. Sami Zayn came out and he said he didn't know what was that was going on, but that everybody goes through that. Everybody experiences that. Drew is very much like, you know what? If you're cool with Roman, I'm not cool with you. I haven't forgotten what he did just because you did, just because he you know, posed and did, you know, Jay did some catchphrases and all that stuff. He's like, I'm not cool with Jay. Sammy and Jay talk backstage. Jay says he wants Drew because he knows Sammy isn't 100%. This is after a physical confrontation between Sammy and Drew. Sammy says he started it. He's got to finish it. How'd you feel about this opening promo? Because this is another one you can file under the Drew was right. Like, he's not saying anything wrong here. Like, it is very true. I mean, listen, word had emerged online of the passing in his family.
Yeah.
So
I'll tell you what, Sean, I thought this was excellent and I thought it was the best thing on the show. Very well-written segment and very well performed. And I think part of that is because it was fucking real. Sami Zayn and Drew McIntyre are genuine. They get out on TV and they're not overly scripted. They just kind of speak from the mind and say the stuff that makes sense for their characters. And in the case of Drew McIntyre, he's a justified heel. He's a justified villain who he's very much disillusioned and jaded with his work environment. He thinks it's total bullshit. This, all these platitudes about family and solidarity. And he's like, man, the boys are a myth because it's like, I go home, I have this personal pain, I got this thing I'm dealing with, and who the fuck is checking up on me? It's total bullshit. These guys that claim are my family that I'm around most of the time, like, it's just shit people tell themselves. And so that's probably like on some level how he actually feels about this situation. And I thought him taking the material that he used in the Busted Open interview was honestly smart, because that was great shit. So bringing that to TV was great. Sami Zayn being juxtaposed into this situation by being the good guy. Because here's the thing about writing heroes and villains, folks. It's great for a villain to have logical motivations to where you can plausibly get why they feel the way they do. But the key is for the good guy to purpose that in a way where there's still something about the guy, the bad guy, that makes him like a bad guy. And in Drew's case, it's the fact that he's taking his personal situation and blaming people for it and pointing fingers. And Sami Zayn used that by basically relating to the people, making an emotional appeal, saying, we all have issues. We all have problems. We all have pain, trauma, so on, difficulties, hardships. And it's not just us who choose to do this life as pro wrestlers. It's the people in the audience. It's the people with children who have issues and so on and so forth. And I thought that was tremendous. It's just logical babyface shit. His promo was excellent. I thought it was excellent. So his back and forth with Drew McIntyre there was great. And man, look, these two guys are two of the best characters in the entire promotion. This sphere surrounding Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Sami Zayn, Drew McIntyre, by proxy CM Punk, I think it's the best thing in WWE. And it's just their interplay and them kind of, because they feel like real people, because they are, you know what I mean? Like they're being extensions of themselves right now on the television. Seth Rollins is like, man, I don't fuck with CM Punk. He's a fraud. I will never work with Roman Reigns. I love you other guys, but I think you're all idiots for working with Roman Reigns. And I've talked about this already before, but just the interconnectedness of these top guys and them just being logical about where they stand with each other is the big strength of the December TV.
Yes. I mean, we are such a far cry away from, well, they're good guys now or they're bad guys now. So they all get along. No, there are layers to this. And I can dislike that the Bloodline storyline has gone on as long as it has, but the layers that it has provided have paid off dividends for WWE. And I think that Drew is the best at taking something that is real to him and is serious to him and not getting hurt when it's used for a storyline and playing off of that.
Absolutely. Really well. Absolutely.
Pat Faroudis, much love. This, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just also going to add, this is not going to be a throwaway thing either, because the idea of there being one person to check on him, I can tell you folks that's going to come into play and spin off leading into Mania season.
Pat Faruga says, much love to both of you. Hope you're doing okay, SRS. I think I will be. We'll see how the week goes. We got AEW World's End this weekend as well. I'll be covering that one right after the show, assuming all my travel goes okay. I got interviews with Thunder Rosa and Bobby Lashley coming up this week. Make sure you check that out. I had Stephen Flo on this week, by God. Terry Allen Jr. says 3 hours of SmackDown won't benefit the crowd. So, story we dropped on Fightful Select this week that I'm pretty sure will drop on social media in like 2 months and people will act like it's new news. Talent have not been told how long Raw is yet. We did hear officially, both on the website and WWE confirmed it to me, SmackDown is going to 3 hours, which they definitely didn't want that information out there months ago, because when I asked, they're like, oh, no, 2 hours for now. 2 hours for now. And it seems like USA was able to get that additional hour in to retain the show. I mean, I'm sure that Raw being added for these 3 months, but also at a 2 hour rate, probably helped nudge that along as well. SmackDown, 3 hours. How you feeling about that?
Depends on what the SmackDown roster is, Sean Rossap. If it's the SmackDown roster that currently exists right now, they can have that. If it's a SmackDown roster that has an injection of new guys in there and maybe a couple NXT call-ups, then I'm open to it. You know what I mean? I think it depends on that. But I think the roster right now is pretty shallow. And they've kind of exhausted a lot of creative avenues for a lot of the people that exist on the show now. So I think it'll need a bit of reshuffling of the deck. Beyond the show stuff, I am interested in finding out if WWE is getting paid for this additional hour. You know what I mean? Because they get paid
by the hour. I'm sure they are, yeah.
Right. Because it's like,
I think that Brandon Thurston had a breakdown. I want to pull it up because I saw it the other day and it was a really good one. It was basically the pay per hour or cost per hour,
right?
Associated with these. It was a really great breakdown that he did. It's one of his most recent media posts over at Brandon Thurston. I encourage you guys to check that out.
Absolutely, because just as a quick explanation to the audience, I mean, look, these promotions get paid by the network by the hour for the content that they produce, and if WWE just adds a third hour to SmackDown at the same rate that they're getting for the year, then that means they're getting paid less by the hour, and yeah. they'd be getting paid less per hour on this round of TV deals than they would have been for the Fox deal on SmackDown prior to that, And surely that's probably not the case. So I'd imagine that's been already talked about and handled.
And we saw the, I don't want to say news, because we anybody with a brain knew that Netflix was going to be airing commercials during WWE Raw. Like, I mean, they were not going to count on, like, what, 23 million new subscribers or anything just joining because of WWE Raw. Like, they were always going to sell advertising there. It helps format the show. I mean, WWE viewers aren't necessarily concerned about that. Even if there's an ad-free tier, guess what? You're still going to see commercials during, just like on Peacock. It's my just question the way that things
gonna,
operate.
My question is going to be, are the commercials as long as the ones on USA Network? And will they be as invasive to, I guess, the wrestling, so to speak? Like, basically, because here's the thing. Ideally for me, as a viewer, you watch a Raw on Netflix that maybe has commercials that go, I don't know, 60 seconds instead of 2.5 minutes sometimes. Or yeah. Maybe you don't have to format matches around the commercials in the exact same way. You know, to where maybe you can just run a 6-minute match uninterrupted and then just do your ads afterwards rather than, because how many times we've had 6-minute matches. I want to say something real quick. There's nothing wrong with a 6-minute TV match, but on WWE TV, a 6-minute match a lot of times will be entrance, one move, commercial. You come back from the commercial, and we see the closing stretch.
Yeah,
and it's hard to get much out of that, but a 6-minute match on TV uninterrupted, you're like, oh, that's a nice little piece of business. And then boom, you do whatever ads you got to do right afterwards. So I'm curious to see if the format of Raw changes at least a little bit when they get to Netflix. So we'll see.
Pure Fusion Collective approach Adam Pearce. Sonya wants to be put in Kairi Sane's place. Adam Pearce laughs at them for suggesting they should be rewarded for such. And Io Sky has instead been added. Io Sky then defeats Natalya and Alba Fire to advance in the women's IC tournament. You could tell on social media, like, Natalya's bummed about this. Like, mm-hmm. the title that her uncles held and, you know, is near and dear to that family. And a lot of people were like, oh, maybe it should be her. But I do think that will add to if she ever wins that.
Yeah.
There are, I certainly have questions, like, what was the urgency to re-sign her?
It's been real weird. It's just been like this, and like, I'm not saying you got to make Natalya like the belt collector, agree. You know, but man, she started this year off with some solid stuff. I mean, she did some good stuff in NXT working over there. She had the match on I want to say it was Battleground in Vegas. She had a very nice Queen of the Ring match with Io Sky. And she was making a really good account of herself. This is somebody that when, you know, at the end of the day, she's been around for so long. There's a lot of overfamiliarity to where I'm sure some people are exhausted of her. But Natty's been solid her whole career in WWE. Last year, she had a really good match on TV with Rhea Ripley. And they re-sign her, and she's just kind of there. She's just kind of existing. And it's a bit curious. It almost feels like they just kind of take her for granted, like she's a piece of the furniture. And I think that she's somebody that could help anchor this division. She's a super solid worker that could help a lot of people there. And so I hope that they can give her some type of direction of some kind as you go into 2025.
Guys, reminder, get in those super chats, get in those humper chats. Io Sky did win this match. I mean, I figured as much. Again, I've been asking about the Kairi element of this because I know a lot of people were asking about that. I'm sure I'll find out this week once they're back off the holiday break. Not a lot of answers happening right now while everybody is sort of out of action. But
yeah, I'm
sure I'll get some details.
I was just about to ask you that like live on air because I asked personally and I didn't get any answers either. And I just assume maybe it's because people are just on their little vacations and they're like, leave me the fuck alone, Ibu Russell Pierce, please. I'm trying to eat dinner with my wife. You know,
so, we have Yakuza saying kind of sucks that both world titles are tied up in bigger stories right now. Cody is more than likely going in Mania as champion. Cena might be getting the world heavyweight championship, leaves other top guys high and dry. So, I mean, I think it's going to end up being Cena and Cody. If it ends up being Cena and Gunther, I don't think that's a bad idea. It is such a 1980s movie feud.
Hell yeah.
That's what it is. I would love to see like Seth or Drew going after Cody because listen, Cody kind of owes Seth one at this point for last year. That could happen as well. But there was something I was thinking about the other day, Ibu.
What are you thinking about, Sean? Are you about to do some fantasy booking right now?
Oh, no. Uh-huh. The exact opposite of that. So what the hell were they thinking booking?
Okay.
You got the WWE Championship, which is, the blue championship or the black championship, right? You had the Universal Championship, which was the red and the blue championship. Then they created the gold championship to represent both of those, but Roman was carrying all three.
Can you name the official name that they gave that for like a year?
The WWE Undisputed World Championship, I believe.
I think Universal was somewhere in that title. And Paul Heyman added heavyweight somewhere. It was like, WWE Undisputed Universal Heavyweight Championship.
So on WWE's website, they still count the Universal Championship as an active title. Like, it's still being counted.
Really?
So I guess those three championships are like, so what happens? Like, obviously he defends them together. Then Cody wins the Crown Jewel Championship over the World Heavyweight Champion to represent all of them in some sense. Then Cody gets the Winged Eagle, which is now being branched off by Kevin Owens.
Are you saying we might get some Triple Crown business, Sean Ross Sapp?
That's pretty much what this is. WWE created their own. It's a quintuple crown, by God.
The Saudi belt's barely canon, but it would be funny and awesome if Cody Rhodes just was strutting around with the Winged Eagle on one shoulder and the other one on the other shoulder. And you know what I mean? Like, that'd be kind of sick.
And these pieces of shit are going to have the balls to say Undisputed at some point.
Yeah. With like, even though it's pretty in dispute, there's like 9 world titles.
Yeah, there's like 6. It's like boxing at this point. Like, what the hell are we doing here? But
I kind of don't want this Kevin Owens walking around with the Winged Eagle thing to end, to be honest with you, because I think it's awesome. I just like looking at that belt, quite frankly.
It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. And I selfishly just would like to see Sami Zayn wrestle Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. I think this version of Kevin Owens with this heel character, plus Sami Zayn, who's just in his like, he's in a second prime now to me, Sean, in the sense that like the young Sami Zayn, the El Generico, the Lucha Libre, the dynamic athlete, that guy carried up until about 2016-17. His body started to break down. He became a shtick guy. And I think now when he turned babyface again in 2023, he's really found himself as this like veteran, tremendous seller type of guy. You know, he's in his like Terry Funk era, so to speak.
Yes.
And I just love watching this version of Sami Zayn wrestle.
Also, somebody brought up The Rock has his People's Championship. So this reminds me of a story. The worst match I ever had in my entire life, Ibu.
Mm.
Myself and my catch wrestling coach were tag team partners as well.
Okay.
And this indie we worked for had basically started, they just kind of started up, and they brought in a couple of their buddies that they used to work with. And they immediately put the tag titles on them, and they said, oh, we had no idea they were this terrible now, because they hadn't wrestled in a couple years.
Yeah.
And they come to the next show with like 3 sets of titles. And we're like, what are you doing? What's going on? And they're like, oh, well, our gimmick is that we're traveling champions. We're like, what? Traveling champions? You've never wrestled outside of Aberdeen, Ohio. What are you doing? This doesn't make any sense. Like, and one of the sets of titles they had were the WCW tag team titles, like replicas. And the guy that ran the show was like, man, what are y'all doing? What is this? I had title belts made for we spent money on what are you doing? And that's how I feel like The Rock was. I feel like The Rock was just like, listen, we just talked about like 5 or 6 championship belts.
Mm-hmm.
And The Rock, whose last win was against Eric Rowan, rolled in with
this is The Rock's belt.
Title
Boom.
Belt. And he's like, you know what? I'm the People's Champion. And I'm like, it made about as much sense to me as Max Caster saying he's the greatest wrestler alive. And by that, I mean,
it made no
he
sense.
He is neither good enough to call himself that, nor shitty enough for it to be ironic.
Yeah, because like, Caster's like,
he's fine.
Yeah,
he's fine.
Exactly. He's just
So when he's the Rock calls people himself the people's champion, I'm like, well, you're clearly not a world champion. But I mean, like, some people do like you.
You know what's funny about the people's championship? So it kind of pops. Well, it kind of pops me conceptually. The Muhammad Ali ties are kind of sick. The weird borderline experimental segment that he had with Cody on last year's Raw at Romania was just unsettling and awesome, where they're trading belts and shit. And here's the thing. If Rock decides, actually, I want to work this year's WrestleMania and I can make it. It kind of popped me the idea of Cody just letting Kevin Owens have that world title and fighting Rock for the People's Championship, which I think very much would potentially be the play should Dwayne be able to do this Mania. But if that's not the case, then they're going to have to shift some stuff around.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And set certain things into play. You know, and as you know, Sean Ross Sapp, you know what? I'll give you a funny scoop. I'll give you a funny scoop. I was talking to somebody in WWE just about Mania and stuff. And without saying names, this quote just had me dying. They said, if Dwayne told Ari in March, I'm working my daughter in the at Mania, that is the main event of night two.
Yep.
And I just started howling with laughter at the idea of Ava versus The Rock at Mania.
I mean, they are at the mercy of The Rock, essentially. FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, broke that news last week that Roman Reigns versus CM Punk is being discussed. Now, to be completely clear, like, that's the plan right now. But we don't get to say, this is happening at WrestleMania, because it's 4 months away. And we saw what happened this year.
And exactly, Sean, because I'm sure last year, this exact time, it was completely up in the air, because the deal to make Rock the what's his position in TKO, chairman or whatever the fuck, that was being put together in December last year.
Punk was still healthy at this point. They had just got him back.
Mania's on paper card this time last year was totally different than what we got. And I'll also say this to your point about this Rock-Roman thing. I'm sorry, Punk-Roman thing, which, to your point, yes, is the working plan. I after you made that report, I reached out and it was just kind of I reached out to just people in the company, basically like, hey, that's awesome, man. This is a cool idea. I'm excited. Nobody was like, it was really weird. Nobody was like, hell yeah, Ibu, high five, man. This is going to be sick. Everyone's just kind of like weirdly like nervous. And I'm like, what's going on? And they're like, dude, I don't know what the fuck is going to happen.
Yeah, you just don't know. You just don't know.
Yeah.
Well, we know what happened with Chad Gable. He whooped Akira Tozawa's ass.
Oh, yeah, dude. German suplex. German suplex.
Bomb into the ankle.
German suplex. Oh. Fucking folding power bomb.
It was
stiff
so
as
good.
Shit.
And I love a good fold him up in half.
And then just
man.
Get over here and then just boom into an ankle lock. folded that bitch.
I love these like power bombs. Like, I'll give you an example. Deanna told me she had never done a power bomb before like a year and a half ago. And now she does like the least smooth power bomb ever. And I love them. I love just a good old fuck you up power bomb. That's yes. what I like.
Yes.
This was simple, yes. effective.
Yeah.
Chad Gable won.
Yeah. I kind of wish the Otis Gable match was going to happen in the Intuit Dome, because Otis is so magnetic with wrestling crowds. And I feel like LA would have gotten so into his comeback facing Chad Gable. So that being next week is like slightly disappointing. I almost borderline hope it goes to like some bullshit non-finish and we just like do like the real match on the sixth, but we'll see.
They dropped the ball with him so much. Like he never had that big violent turn against Chad Gable. He like shoved him away. It was like, come on, guys. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? They want to see you whip Chad Gable's ass. And we have seen people whip his ass numerous times since then.
And so yet, like, if people are still up for Otis doing it, but they won't give it to us. Very weirdly handled.
Gable didn't really gain a lot from this split. He got a new team, and all of them lose a lot. And I just want to see, some real juice put into this, but
I agree. I totally agree. I hope better for Chad Gable in 2025, because I thought his 2024 was a downgrade from his 2023, which ended with him having tremendous matches with Gunther.
Yes. We have Finn Balor, Liv Morgan bickering back and forth, but Dominic says he's going to go to Adam Pearce, get a match with Damian Priest. Finn took some offense to this, but there was an element of Dominic that I really loved. He passes the New Day backstage, and they are like, finally, a guy that can identify with us. And Dom's like, no, I can't. He's like, I don't even like Big E. And that was messed up. Like, this is what I think they needed to do. Even the biggest pieces of shit on this show are like, you guys took it too far.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love
which
that.
Which is a good way to just kind of show just how evil they are on the WWE evil spectrum. You know what I mean? Dominic, who's just an absolute piece of crap in kayfabe, was just like, damn, come on, guys.
Damian Priest versus Dominic ends when Judgment Day interferes. I mean, they're popping up out of everywhere. He's pulling them out from under the ring. JD is dressed as Santa. Those elements were funny, but like, I'm so beyond ready for this feud to just like, I want Damian Priest to go to SmackDown so bad and be away from this at this point. I would much rather see Finn feud with Dominic at this point.
Well, here's the thing about it. It's just Damian Priest has overachieved as a babyface when it comes to work and the reactions.
Yeah.
And it sucks to see that be used on the same people over and over again. Because I watch some of these Damian Priest babyface performances where the crowd is getting so behind him. And I'm like, man, he's really rolling right now. I'd like to see what this is like against other people. And he's just working the same dudes over and over again. It's very tedious. The other funny thing is he had a good match on the Raw after SummerSlam against JD McDonagh. And instead of going back to that matchup, they've gone back to him and Dom like three times. And none of those matches have been anything special at all. This one did nothing for me. And frankly, the post-match, like, you could have just went right to that, which is just they jump him and then the Raiders come out and then they all fight, which I'll just jump ahead here. Their backstage segment just was so funny to me because it's like they had creative had to like find a link with all three of them. And they basically went, hey, remember Ring of Honor? Yeah, Ring of Honor. And they just like dabbed each other up, you know? So that was funny. But to your point also about Priest going to SmackDown, Sean, who is somebody that Damian Priest really likes and emulates?
Razor Ramon.
Well, besides Razor, the other one.
The other one, who?
Undertaker.
Oh, yeah. Fair.
I mean, I get, you know, he does the raises. But, yeah, he's, as fans affectionately refer to him, he's bisexual Undertaker. And
yes.
Taker, during the brand split days, Sean, was always a SmackDown guy. You know, so let's move him over. Let him be an enforcer. Let him just choke slam Carmelo Hayes every week. You know what I mean? Like, let's go for it.
Yeah, I'm so ready for that. And I mean, that's honestly a match that I think would be killer right there.
I'd like to see him face him. I'd like to see him face the Bloodline guys if necessary. The other thing is, like, they need a new crop of baby faces that run out and save each other on SmackDown. Yeah. Like, let's say LA Knight's just getting jumped and it's like, oh, Rise. He runs out and he just choke slams some dudes and it's sick. And then, I don't know, Andrade does a back elbow and it's like, oh, shit. And he's like, oh, it's just guys being dudes, high-fiving each other and having tag matches, you know.
You know who else needs to move to the blue brand?
Who?
Literally all of our viewers. BlueChew.com. By God. Blue Chew's putting their money where its mouth is and offering you a month free. And listen, if you want people putting their never mind. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. Blue Chew tablets are made in the USA, prepared and shipped directly to your door. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever the opportunity arises. You want that main event performance. You want to be able to go 3 hours, 2 hours. I don't know. Maybe you want to stop for a commercial break. Not with Blue Chew. You're going to be ready. You're going
marathon.
Exactly.
Power, speed, Blue performance. Chew.
You might say, does it work? Listen, of course it works. Same I'll active what, ingredients. Sean. What's that?
I'll tell you what, Sean. 2025, for our audience, because I'm dedicated to Fightful and this brand and this audience, I'm going to give Blue Chew a try, Sean. And you know what? On one of these Raw reviews, I'm going to give Blue Chew a review.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. By God. I love it. Well, Blue Chew is not going to stop until, listen, I'll be real. You're going to be so bricked up. Santa's not going to come down your chimney. But somebody's going to be coming. That's the mission. Blue Chew and the code Fightful. Fill that stocking with a little something else with Blue Chew.
I feel like when I'm loaded up on that blue, I feel like it's just going to give me this extra vigor just to review pro wrestling. Oh, you know what I mean?
Buddy.
Just imagine me being like, yeah, man, Ibu Wrestle Pierce here. It is what it is, guys. I'm a little solid right now, but I thought this match is great. You know, and I'm just like just yeah. talking about the match.
BlueChew.com. Listen, you don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy. You don't have to wait in line at the doctor's office. You don't have to wait in Santa's line either. But you best believe Santa's going to be hitting you up. Santa's going to be like, hey. Do they deliver to the North Pole? Because my pole ain't been so north lately. I need something to help it out.
An issue that Blue affects Chew. a lot of men around the world today. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. BlueChew.com. We would greatly appreciate you all supporting our wonderful sponsors who did renew for 2025. Very Ooh. Excited about that. Oh, man. Seth Rollins does an interview. Mm-hmm. He said that Punk's hypocrisy eats at him. He wanted to throw his remote to the TV when he saw Punk team with Roman. Says it's going to be a fight because he is internally destroyed by Punk's presence. We are going to see a side of Rollins we've never seen as he tries to extract the demon in his soul. And Andy says, how confident is Ibu? We've escaped Seth freaking. Fear Roman will want Fatu. What do you predict for Cody if Rock isn't there? Orton is underwhelming. I think Cody, Cena. I think we might get Orton KO if Orton comes back. I think Fatu is probably facing Solo at that show because Roman ain't going to face either one of them. And maybe Fatu. That'd be cool. But I think we're headed towards Roman Punk. But what are you thinking for Seth freaking Rollins at Mania?
I think it's possible he slips into the Gunther match.
Okay.
I think it's possible. I don't 100% know this. I know that he's up in the air along with Sami Zayn and a couple other main event guys on Raw like Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man. Mania 40, I wanted to see them face each other in a triple threat. Problem is, what would they be fighting for this year if they did that? So,
yeah.
What I don't want, though, is the lazy booking of just I'll just throw him in a big four-way title match or some shit. Because fatal four-way world title matches to me scream like Fastlane or Payback or Battleground or like, you know World's what I mean? Yeah, there you go, right? Mania should be the show with box office 1v1 personal issues as much as possible on the main event level. And then if you want to do multi-man, fit everybody in stuff in the undercard, then go for it. But for the world title, I want to see ideally big-time singles personal issues. Maybe you throw a third guy in for certain title matches. But Seth's situation is a bit up in the air. Maybe they do Sammy, Gunther, and Seth. I don't know. I'm not really sure. A lot is being made about Sami Zayn's inability to pin Drew McIntyre. So we'll see if that rides its way all the way to Mania. But for Seth Rollins, I think right now, Sean, I think I'm going to say Gunther. I think. Maybe it's Sami, but I'm thinking Gunther.
Okay. Well, we got...
I don't know. I feel like you know Seth's match, and you're like, oh,
poor. I don't. I'm like thinking of it, and I can't remember if it was you that had tweeted it, but it was like the cage match of Rollins and Gunther, and like the note, like it seems like they've been keeping those guys away from each other, and usually that's intentional.
100%.
Bianca and Rhea aren't having like a bunch of matches every week on TV for a
reason. 100%. Keep that one in mind, folks. But yeah. I mean, Seth and Gunther, that they've always been. That's one of those like we're storing that in the back pocket for a rainy day match that they got.
Yeah,
I mean, that was when they contemplated that for Mania for like 2 days last year, or technically this year. But yeah,
Dexter Lumis. Mm-hmm. Against The Miz ends in no contest. The magic is gone.
That sucks.
The crowd is just like, meh. I'll say this, Dexter Lumis probably doing the best in-ring work of his career, just jumping off of shit and looking real cool.
He went from like weird like sex dungeon Kane to like now he's like, I'm extreme. You know, and it's like, okay. This is like, look, man. You're like 4 hours into a double taping and you're watching Miz and Lumis and people are like, man, I want to go home. I can't lie to you. And this did nothing for me. It did nothing for the audience. It kind of sucked. I'm kind of tired of watching Miz wrestle, to be honest with you. And I think when Ethan Page gets called up, it'll eliminate the need for Miz as a pro wrestler that does shtick and does the whole I'm scared thing. So I like watching Miz banter with Karrion Kross backstage. I don't particularly like anything the Final Testament does in front of a live audience.
Yeah, I do love Karrion Kross. Like, I think his promo stuff is so good and entertaining, especially the social media thing. And I'm like, man, there was a time when if the reunited Shield would have been confronted by AOP and Samoa Joe, I would have been like,
oh, exactly.
And now I'm like, they're getting Nikki Cross thrown at him. And I love Nikki Cross. One thing, I think they should switch to face paint for her. The mask is void of emotion.
But beyond that,
give her some good face paint, I think that she'll kill it.
I would say the same for Howdy, or a better mask for him. I feel like his mask is kind of mid. And like when you think of great wrestling masks that are scary, I think Mankind, I think The Fiend. I think his mask is like very like party city.
It looks like Undertaker's 95 mask that was cool.
Or,
yeah. Somebody says, dude has lotion right next to his computer. I know what kind of man you are, Sean. At this point, it's a prop for the show. At this point, I use it whenever I talk about Shelton matches.
Oh, yeah. Talk about a guy lighting it up. You know what I mean? That's a guy. You got to load up on a blue chew for that guy. But, speaking of the comments, Luis Saucedo popped me here. He said, Sammy, Drew, Seth, KO, Priest, Knight, Andrade, Balor, 8-way Hell in a Cell at Mania opener.
I mean, they did a 6-person Hell in a Cell at Armageddon back in 2000, if you remember.
I rewatched it 2 weeks ago. It's incredible.
Yeah, it is. It was just so funny because it's like almost everybody of that era that is a top guy, and then it's like Rikishi. And I was
he's a bad man, Sean.
He is a bad man. He certainly was. And he took the big bump in that match. But I'm just like, man, Rock, Rikishi, Stone Cold, Triple H, Kurt Angle, Undertaker, Rock. I'm like, God almighty.
Honestly, watch it with Rikishi, man. He might start bearing you on his podcast, you know. He's real big on that show.
Fair.
You know? Yeah. He meant Yeah, so I don't know. There's this Mark named Sean Ross Sapp. I don't really know what his deal is. He's
I remember Kishi guy. Like, listen, I don't. Yeah. My friend Destiny FOMO has been trying to get the stink face from him for years for content purposes. I'm not trying to ruin that for her. So he once said, "I think your head's too little. It might get stuck."
What? Jesus.
But I mean, also at that time, Rikishi was so fucking over that it was unreal. Yeah. Oh, the New Day. Listen, they try to explain their actions, and Kofi talks about how his mother flew from Ghana in a middle seat to be there, and they're embarrassing him. And his mother, like, grabs her coat and leaves. Kofi does the hug that Big E wanted to do, and she hits him with the no. I love it. Everybody is telling them they're terrible people. This is what you get when you take emotionally invested talent, even when they're not hot at the time, and you give them a categorical shift and something creatively satisfying. Because now I'm like, I can't wait to see what they do next. I love it.
I don't know this for sure, Sean, but I have a sneaking suspicion that Ray's going to find himself opposite a New Day beatdown.
Oh, buddy.
And I think when that time comes, a man with zero fear is going to come by his side and help him out.
Is it going to be like a guy from the 90s with a no fear shirt on? Like,
it might be.
To remember that.
I don't know for sure, but I do think that when that happens, it'll be on January 6th on Rossap.
Will it be Nick Nolte of Cape Fear?
Probably.
I watched that movie last night.
Heard it's really good. I've never seen it.
It's okay. It's okay. Robert De Niro was very, very good in that. But
well, he was very good in the early 90s, you know. So.
Yes. But I mean, yeah, I mean Ray and Penta have a lot of history, an awful lot of history from AAA to Lucha Underground to God, they didn't work all in together, did they? The first one?
They were on the same show. They weren't in the same match. Ray was in a trios match with Bandito and
there you go.
I can't remember who. And Penta faced Kenny Omega.
And down the line, Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio against the Lucha Brothers is going to be insane.
Oh,
insane! Break out the cum wings.
Oh yeah,
that one.
Where you got them?
Blue. Blue says, "Was it me or is this a fun taped show? Love the opening promo, main event, New Day segment." Also, like the pre-Sangle and EO match. I mean, listen, I've got a very low bar for enjoying pro wrestling. If it makes sense, I'm usually like, yeah, sure, whatever. I like
yes, that was all right. It was all right.
But this was definitely a taped show.
Yes, it was very taped. I'll tell you what, guy who's commenting this. I love the opening segment legitimately. And I just love watching Priest and Sami Zayn wrestle. I will break down shortly. The technicalities and the nuances as to why I enjoyed this match. But listen, man, anytime I get to watch Sami Zayn in a 3-segment match, I'm down for it. So, I didn't hate this week's show. It's very clearly a December Raw before we get to the big Intuit Dome show. But
It's one of those old WWF Raws with the wreath around the logo that you're like, okay, they were ready to get to their break.
Yeah, yeah.
Abdi says, forget turning on Big E. Kofi gets heel of the decade for a 20-hour middle seat for his mother. I simply would not go if I had a 20-hour middle seat. I would not be on that flight. No chance.
I was on long middle seat flights when I was a kid. And like that's fine when you're a kid and like you have energy and life and emotion and happiness. And I'm too old for that shit now, Sean. My knees are awful. Yeah. My back has too many fucking slipped discs. If I did it now, I'd be like limping out of the plane.
At this point, I rarely will I even drive to Cincinnati or Louisville to catch a flight. If it ain't out of my little airport where I can roll out of bed 30 minutes before it departs, I don't even want to go. Tim Traver says, slightly under the weather. Tim, hope you get better, my friend. Says, want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Tim, always great to see you, buddy. Hope you and your family. Hope Kelly's doing good as well. Check out Tim Traver whenever he pops up here and there. He does specials on die-cast cars, which are very cool to see. I always love to see what people dive into, and he's very good at that. Wonderful fella. But we had our main event. Drew McIntyre defeated Sami Zayn. I'll tell you what I love about this. They really got time to breathe and time to do this. This was the feature match on the show. This was the main event. And I actually liked the commentary at the end, because so many times you hear a commentator go, Sami Zayn gave it all he could, but I'll out. But no, this time he didn't kick out. He got his ass whipped. And Joe Tessitore was like, he gave it all he had, and it wasn't enough. 1, 2, 3. I love that.
Drew McIntyre is a man on a mission, and he's nasty, and he's spiteful, and he's physical, and he kicks your ass. And here's the thing. I love their chemistry, and I thought that their match at Saturday's main event was a good sprint, but not on par with their previous matches. And it's because it missed a key element. When you have condensed time like they did in on NBC, they had like a firefight. It was fireworks. It was a bomb fest, right? But that's not – I mean, that can work for certain types of wrestlers. But for Sami and Drew, the appeal of their matches, Sean, is watching Drew McIntyre deliberately physically maul this guy and destroy him, and watch Sami sell his ass off, just getting ragdolled, staggering on his feet, you know what I mean? Just trying to stay alive, hang in there, make it to the late rounds, so to speak. And over the course of their matches, you notice Sami Zayn will work laboriously for his very few hope spots that he scores on Drew McIntyre. And by the time he achieves said hope spots, it's really, really satisfying, and the crowd pops big for it. It helps the big Blue Thunder bombs and the Sunset Power bombs and the counters hit much more, because you watch Sami just get chopped to death and get overhead thrown and his back dropped on the apron and all that type of stuff. He's just in agony, and Sami Zayn's one of the best sellers in WWE. And Drew McIntyre, he's one of the few wrestlers in America whose control segments aren't boring as fuck. Because a lot of guys, they're getting heat on a dude, and like, they don't really take almost pride and joy in doing that part of the business. They're just kind of waiting until it's time to get their shine back. Drew McIntyre, like Gunther and like some other guys, he's locked in, because he knows this is the point of the match where he's really making his money. He's really selling his character and communicating who he currently is. And so he's vicious. He's nasty, beating the dog shit out of Sami Zayn. And Sami fired back, and it was lovely. But ultimately, Sean, as you saw, Sami's back just gave out. He was not able to execute the Huluva kick. And that moment of hesitation was all it took for Drew McIntyre to claim his head off again. Sami Zayn is now 0-10 against Drew McIntyre.
0-10.
0-10. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
That is holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not something I had even really considered until, yeah. Oh my God, 0-10.
It's been a career worth of just ass whoopings for this young man.
My God. Guys, we are back next week with a full new live edition of Raw, the last one on USA Network, maybe ever. Like, you want to talk about end of an era. I know there was a brief, like, few-year period where it was on TNN, Spike, whatever, but I mean, by all means, that there is no end in sight for the Netflix deal. The Netflix has the rights for Raw, like, for a long-ass time. A long time. And then have the right to extend it even more. Michael says they need to give Sonya or Zelina a chance at a title one. Probably the U.S. or Intercontinental. I mean, Zelina delivered in her match with Rhea last year. But, I mean, I think that... I mean, one, they didn't expect her to be wrestling as much as she is.
Yeah. Like,
they brought her in as a manager, and she wanted to wrestle, as best I know.
But hope people like that. Layla Gray's in a similar spot where they wanted to do other roles for her, and she was like, I want to be a wrestler. So yeah. Good for Zelina. A great promo, a solid wrestler who is continuing to swim upstream, and God bless her. Hopefully some opportunities come in 2025.
We have a busy week on Fightful. Fightfulselect.com has a bunch of scoops, bunch of contract news. But this Friday, we are back with the SmackDown post show, as they are back after the holidays. I have a World's End post show on Saturday, assuming my travel goes okay. Minnie Boo and I are back on Monday. But also, interviews nonstop. I've got like 15 or 20 in the can between the Dallas All In thing and or the Dallas All In ticketing thing and WrestleCade. So a lot of stuff from AEW, a lot of stuff from the indies. And we're working on nailing down a date for the Fightful Awards. Voting has closed, and there are some shockers. There are some ones that you would expect. And then there was one specific result that you guys will see that could not have been more hilarious.
But R-Truth won Wrestler of the Year, didn't he?
That would be something. That would be hilarious. He won for Stable of the Year last year for Judgment Day. He accepted that award.
God.
It was wonderful. But Ebu, tell the people where they can find you and where they can support you.
Folks, you can find me at Backup Hangman on Twitter. You can also find me on Blue Sky under the same name, backuphangman.bluesky.social. I'm on that account making tweets and stupid wrestling opinions. I sometimes do Twitter spaces, as you guys saw on Saturday. We did 1,800 live listeners at 3 in the morning to listen to me debate with Bloodline stands. So if you want to catch that space, that's still on my feed. But you guys can catch me on there. I will be dropping a Discord soon. So I will be releasing the details on that imminently because it will be dropping this week. Beyond that, folks, I'm around. I'm doing my thing. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, man, just follow me on all my socials, folks.
Check it out, guys. I am on Blue Sky as well. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. You can now gift subscriptions. Thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit 2, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.